You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Patriots Friday on WEEI is presented by Toyota, Cross Insurance, Pepsi, Shaw's and Star Market, FindMassMoney.gov, and by McFarlane Energy. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour, WEEI Afternoons. Before we get to the drive, we did have some information come forth from Ann Michael May. In a interview she did with Dave Portnoy.
Not just an interview.
Well, yes, a pizza review or whatever, the whole thing. And that was after
a chicken parm review.
That was after she did her whole, after Bake Miss or post Bake Miss, her new show that's going to be on NBC Sports Boston that she just finished taping.
Does this also qualify as a little thing or is this bigger?
It's bigger. It's on regional cable television at the very least.
Good for her.
Sports
Good for
Network.
Her.
We can ask Drake about it. But she let slip what Drake wouldn't tell us, and I hadn't heard any of the offensive linemen let slip. He got the lineman saunas for Christmas.
Oh.
What do we think of sauna for Christmas?
I think it's a terrible gift.
Oh, what? Why?
Wait a minute. Like a whirlpool?
No, like the
like
room, the box that you sit in and sweat.
Okay.
Is it a better gift now?
That's better. Yeah, I thought maybe I was thinking jacuzzi. Okay. So, because I put a jacuzzi in my backyard one time, and I literally had to pay to get nice landscape around the jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing, and your electric bill goes up because you run the pump year round.
It's like the worst gift ever.
And if you house it, they tell you don't do anything in the sauna because I'll have to drain it and pump it out,
but
and I'll know what you did
little
in the sauna.
Box, I love that. If you got the space
that
for
movie.
That, I love that gift. What you don't like it, Fitz?
Oh, no. As the proud owner of a sauna, Ted, I think it's an awesome gift.
Like one of those new age ones where you step into it? Where you, like, just the individual? Okay.
No, I've got a barrel sauna that fits four in a very tight sort of, like, private jet capacity. it's awesome.
So what does the temperature get up to?
180.
180 degrees?
Yeah, that's when I jump in there every day, sick brag. Yeah. I crank it to between 160 and 180. They say if you spend 15 minutes.
There you go.
Between 160 and 180, Andy, all your toxins?
Yep, out.
Have you done the sauna cold bath yet?
Yeah, sometimes I either jump in the snow or run right into a cold shower.
Yeah, it's true.
It's awesome.
What Fitzy just said, you know, they tell you, three times a week at no more than really 15 minutes, it will get all those bad toxins out of you. So you shouldn't ever get sick. Right?
Stiz, you might want to get a sauna.
Stiz is thinking
I'm
going to
need
man.
Like an extra large.
We're
one,
not going to mention what toxins. We're just telling you might want to get us. So we land on this is a good. This is better than the bones that.
Yeah,
Joe
you know
Burrow
who needs
gave?
To take notes is Joe Burrow with the sword and the bones. Get out of here with that. A sauna's the way to go.
Okay, so but it's also their fact.
That's the name of Burrow's new pub. He's opening up in Covington, Kentucky.
Do you lose weight in the sauna?
You shed a lot of water weight.
Yeah.
All right, so if all the linemen show up and all of a sudden Will Campbell's playing at 265 at left tackle, we got to...
If he's in there for no more than 15 minutes, he should be okay.
Plus, you got awesome Ann Michael gift. Giving him cinnamon rolls and cookies, and then you got a sauna, so it probably all balances out. All right, Stiz, 507.09, time for the drive.
This is the drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep!
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So obviously we started off the show talking Patriots Chargers. We're ending the show talking Patriots Chargers. Big game. So Ted Johnson, In this big game, what is the Patriots' biggest advantage heading into this matchup?
The biggest advantage is that they play in a place that's going to be 25 degrees.
You love the other factors or whatever in this game, huh? The dome,
the external factors.
Thing.
I think that's the I think it's the number one thing.
And we did
for
just
a
see
team that plays in the warm weather all the time. Yeah.
Thanks to our friends at Channel 7, we had it on in the studio here. Snow showers and some wind during the game, during the end of the game, 30 degrees ish there. So you could get a weather game, right, so to speak, for Justin Herbert, who people tell me he played in the Northwest, so there was some rain and cold out there.
Do you want me to give you a better one?
Sure.
A different one?
No, it's you can like that one.
I'll give you just an honorary mention, too. I think his passing yards his yards per passing play are going to be the lowest. I think he's going to dink and dunk. I think they're going to be just fine possessing the ball. And playing keep away, and just kind of they're not going to let him get big plays, so he's going to dink and dunk.
So you trended into mine because I think the biggest advantage the Patriots have is Drake May.
That's it.
I think he's just rolling right now. I don't have a ton of fears of. I've heard just too many. I'm kind of sick of. Well, it's his first playoff game. Okay, so is there this rule where you can't win your first playoff game? Is there this rule where you can't throw it, I don't know, 35 times for 280 yards and three touchdowns in your first playoff? I missed it if that's a new rule in the NFL. When the guy who has played the position as well as anybody since week one, I don't see any reason why he's going to fall on his face because you labeled it a playoff game. It's game number 18 for him, right? It's the 18th start of the season against a pretty good opponent. So we'll see.
The only pushback I'd give it to you is that Josh McDaniels has said that Drake's going to see things he hasn't seen all season, which I don't know about that, but you know, they might have a wrinkle or two that he hasn't seen.
But that if that happens, that's not happening because it's his first playoff game. It's happening because Minter's a good coordinator. Mm-hmm. He could have played in week 10, right? And Minter and Derwin James could have confused him.
And it came up with stuff he hadn't seen all year at
it's
that
got
point.
Nothing to do with being his first playoff game, so I'm kind of sick of that narrative.
Right.
It's not going to be because it's his
Yell
first
at your
playoff
buddy.
Game. I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm just saying I'm a little sick of that. So we did talk to our buddy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal, and we asked him what aspect of this game he's most excited to watch.
Well, I mean, I think we got two young quarterbacks who are, you know, hovering at the top of the league in terms of their ability and the things that they've done this year. Herbert has been really impressive when you look at all that's gone wrong around him from a health perspective. You know, they're built a certain way, and to have both tackles, you know, one missed the entire year and the other one missed, you know, a good portion of it and not going to be back for the postseason. Like, that's pretty massive that he's been able to kind of elevate that group around him. And obviously we've seen Dredd just go, you know, supernova. So I love that aspect of it because I think this is we're looking kind of at the future a little bit here that's happened to be happening in the present. And then I love the little chess matches. You're talking about Harbaugh and Vrabel, and it's McDaniels versus Jesse Minter, the DC. It's, you know, the long veteran coordinator Greg Roman against Zach Kaur, and I guess you would say Vrabel too, you know, with the defensive influence. And like, how does that get divvied up, and who wins those matchups? Because there's a lot of little things that can be done in this game, and I'm, you know, there's a few things that I've circled that I'm really looking forward to watching.
So I'm going to take my response
answer.
To the. It's a great answer.
And there's a lot there, but it's
something
a good
jumped out to me there. I don't believe, so we are now, as Ferzocco said, we're like now almost full 5 days into this breakdown of this matchup. We've talked a lot about Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, and Josh McDaniels.
I like it.
There's four coordinators in this game, isn't
well,
there?
Well, Zach Kaur.
Yeah,
He's his first year, so you don't know as much about him.
But
he hasn't built a reputation.
Exactly. So if we're going to question Drake May and how he reacts to his first playoff game, because I get that Vrabel can oversee the defense, but we've seen him. You've said it. He's a head coach, right? He's not calling the plays. He's not taking it from Zach Kaur on the. So Zach Kaur is going against your guy Roman and going against Justin Herbert. Where are we on Zach Hardcore in terms of him being ready for the choosing to blitz, not to blitz, how to blitz, when to blitz, all of these things that kind of fall onto his plate? How are we feeling about him?
I'm a little bit more nervous with him. Yeah, because just it's the first time he's ever called a game in a playoff game. And I don't know what the Patriots do really well on defense. Like, where do you hang your hat on? Is it zone? Is it man-to-man? I do like the fact that I think going up against a Patriots offense is difficult because you can't zone in on just one thing. All these different plays that they throw at you is done to kind of confuse you so that you can't zero in and put game plans to stop them. They spread the ball around. So who do you stop in this situation? I don't know, because they go to different guys and all season long. So I think there's a part of that aspect for Zach Kor that you don't really know what he's going to hit you with, because he changes what he does week to week. That's kind of what I think there's a benefit in that, and not knowing much about the guy, because really on tape, you don't see – like you see the Chargers play 80% zone.
Yep.
Like that is undisputable. That is a tendency. That is their bread and butter. So you can exploit that. The Patriots on both sides of the ball, they don't have those tendencies that just jump out at you.
Fitzy, how are you feeling about Zach Hardcore in his first playoff game calling the defensive plays?
It's a great point by you right there, Ted. Like, I am a little anxious because Greg Roman has been around. He has made the rounds as an offensive coordinator. And while you were pointing out yesterday how he can be a little unpredictable with his running calls, most people know if it's Jim Harbaugh coach, Greg Roman OC'd team, they're going to run to try to set up the play-action pass. But they know also that they're an underdog coming into a place with a Mike Vrabel defense. Aaron Rodgers, everyone else always says, like, oh, it's a Mike Vrabel defense. You know they're going to come at you. They're going to hit hard. I wouldn't be surprised to see them, just as much as you're expecting Jesse Minter to throw some wrinkles at the Patriots offense to try to confound Drake May in his first playoff game. I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys try their strengths first and then see if they can't pull a fast one on a guy who has been basically kind of just figuring it out and doing a great job, mind you, stepping in for a defensive coordinator in the form of Kor. Yeah.
What I like that we're doing and that Girardi was pointing out, which is accurate, is the playoffs to me, it really, you start focusing more on coordinators, because mm-hmm. it's really about coordinators calling the right plays at the right time. It's not the head coaches. They give the power to their coordinators to call these plays. And so if they, I mean, you can think of plays that, what were they thinking on that fourth down? What was that play? Or the defense, why did they blitz on a third and 10 in that situation? So there's a lot of pressure on these coordinators, too, to call the plays at the right time.
And it's a little bit like, I don't know if it's to call the right play all the time, or just make sure you don't call the wrong play two or three or four key time. It's almost like a cornerback, right? Like you can cover for 41 snaps, but if you give up three key catches on those other three snaps, you know, you can play a great defensive game. You could have a decent defensive game in the Super Bowl, for example, and go zero blitz and give up a touchdown and say, yeah, we probably in hindsight shouldn't have done that. So don't have those three or four screw ups, Zach Kor, right, Fitzy?
Yeah, and also, like Andy, this all ties back into the wisdom of Will Campbell, like in his offseason, the line in the offseason interview where he said, you know, no disrespect to people that do this, but, you know, you can play awesome and give up one sack and you'll be a game and you'll be working at Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. If you get one sack a game, you make millions of dollars. If you give up one sack a game, you're working at Amazon in a couple of weeks. It's the reality of the edge life in the NFL. So I asked you, Ted, Patriots' biggest advantage. So I know, I think you're leaning towards having some faith in the Patriots, but I want you to play devil's advocate. What's the Chargers' biggest advantage in this game?
You know, probably it's got to be Derwin James, right?
That's what I said.
It's got to be Derwin James. He's the guy that you can move around. He's a chess piece that is very versatile. You don't know where he's lining up. You don't know what he's doing. He blitzes. He plays, you know, half field. He does a lot of different things. And so it's very hard to key in on where he's going to be. A la, you know, Troy Polamalu back in the day, Ed Reed back in the day. He has that same kind of impact on his defenses that those guys had on theirs.
Fitzy, is that something that Drake May should fear? Like we joked earlier about the Ed Reed, Tom Brady fine 20 on every play that he wrote on his wristband.
That's right.
Or is there a danger of overemphasizing your thoughts about Derwin James and forgetting that, there's also 10 other guys on the field that should probably know where they are as well?
I think there's a fine line, Andy, between fear and awareness. Like, always, like find Ed Reed, always be aware of James. But you can't just say the entire game, we're not throwing anywhere near this guy, or we're just going to roll everything that we possibly can away from Derwin James. Something's going to be in his neighborhood or vicinity at some point, but being smart about ball security, given the fact that he can sack you, given that he'll strip the ball, given that he has incredible range and strength. Yeah, that's just good coaching if they make sure they're constantly aware of him, but you can't live in fear. If they play this game, Andy, if they play this game fearfully, they lose already. Like, the game's lost if they're playing from behind before the first kickoff.
No, you're right. You're right, Fitzy, to say that. And then also, just don't forget, where he lines up before the snap is not where he's going to end up in after the snap. Right. That's what is the Bills did a great job in one of the, I don't know, it was the in their second half of this last game that the Patriots played at home against the Bills of really showing him one coverage before the snap and then switching to another coverage after the snap. So he has to think on the fly. The receivers have to think on the fly, and that makes their jobs so much more difficult.
So it's obviously a Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, means we spoke with a coordinator early in the show. That was Jeremy Springer. And Ted, you played on a bunch of Super Bowl teams where special teams pretty much decided who won and lost those games.
Oh, won for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Field goals, blocked kicks, big returns from Troy Brown and others. And we saw it last night. You know, there were multiple missed field goals. There was one where the guy hit the upright and it doinks in a college. There's probably going to be a big special teams player, too. So I asked Jeremy Springer today if the decision-making or game planning in the postseason changes on special teams.
No, I don't think it does. I think you approach the game the way you've been approaching it all year. You're aggressive and where you need to be aggressive, and you're not when you don't. And I think Vrabel and Stretch and those guys on the offense, defense side of the ball, they do a great job. And, you know, I just kind of follow that lead. And me and Vrabel are always in constant communication from a special team standpoint. And when we need to choose and win our battles or not, we got to do it. And if not, then we take the pedal off. So I think just approaching each game to how the game is approaching you throughout the game is how we'll keep doing it.
Do you believe that's true, Ted? Does it not change anything in terms of decision-making when they might kick a field goal where they're right on that edge of do we punt or Marcus Jones a fair catch or maybe we need a play here because, you know, the season's kind of hanging in the balance right here. Does it change any decision-making?
Oh, yes, it does. Because it's either you lose, you go home.
Right.
So it's kind of you have to maybe make yes decisions based on knowing that fact.
Right.
That if you don't execute this play the right way that you – might not have a game next week. So I think he's saying all the things he needs to say, but the truth really is more that you're going to make decisions that you might not normally have made because of what is at stake.
And it might be above his pay grade, Fitzy. No disrespect to him, but the head coach is going to decide a lot. He'll take his input, and we'll have our pregame, and Borregales can tell me I'm good from 58 or whatever.
Yep.
And then Vrabes will go, thanks for the information. And now Stretch and I will talk about it and do what we need to do to win a playoff game. Right, Fitzy?
Yeah. We asked him that question during the 2 o'clock hour interview as well about how the confidence that he had in his special teams unit, the way they were able to rebound that last minute and a half of that Miami game last week, as frustrating as elements of that were, Andy, in the first half, to watch your team make a mistake to then turn around and be able to execute so quickly and so efficiently, knowing that Borregales could potentially be good from 60 in the cold, that gives Vrabel, Springer, and the entire offense huge confidence going into a game like this in what could honestly be decided by a field goal. And by the way, the other team's got a pretty good kicker as well.
Also could be decided by an injury, a guy who's out, a replacement, and we do have the final practice participation and injury report of the week. The only person who's out for your New England Patriots is Kyrese Tonga, the defensive lineman, but I don't want to say only because, you know, that's a valuable run stuffer.
He was your best interior defensive line against the run.
And he was your short yardage fullback if you get into that situation. I know you don't think as much of that, Ted, as I do, but I'm a big fan of fullback play. Westover has been doing the job in his absence.
He's doing better than people give him credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then the questionable guys are Kayshon Booty, Harold Landry, and Thayer Munford. I assume those guys are going to play. They were all limited most of the week. Munford was a DNP with a knee, and he's been a key extra lineman.
No question.
So
it'd be a little bit with Tonga out and Munford out. It takes away kind of what you maybe want to do against their smaller personnel group.
Right. Or even in those, you know, that one game where they had the six tries from the goal line. You don't want to get in one of those situations where you're at the
How
one.
How about they played Munford at fullback on a lead draw last week?
Yeah.
Let's go. I was tripping. I was like, 74 is in the backfield? What is going on, man?
The rest of the injury report, Garrett Bradbury was full participation, so that's good. He had dealt with the illness. Travion Henderson, you may have read on social media, wasn't on the practice field today. That is not injury-related. It's a personal issue, but he did not participate today, but he does not have an injury designation. And the big one for the Chargers is Omarion Hampton,
The running back, the rookie, former North Carolina player like Drake May, has an ankle injury. He missed practice a couple days this week, but he was back out there limited. He's listed as questionable. So, obviously, they want him on the field because they want to try to run the ball, split the carries between Vidal and Hampton, and come right at you. So, that's going to do it for the drive today on a Patriots Friday. Up next, we are doing a pick six parlay, but it's a new version because you're wondering, wait, how are they going to do this? There's only six games. Well, we're picking all six games as part of our pick six parlay. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots were back on the practice field this morning. New England prepares to host the Los Angeles Chargers in the wild card round this weekend. Kickoff on Sunday at Gillette is set for 8 p.m. Head coach Mike Vrabel told the media earlier today that defensive tackle Kyrus Tonga has been ruled out for Sunday's contest. Linebacker Harold Landry, wide receiver Kayshon Booty, and offensive lineman Thayer Munford Jr. are all listed as questionable. For the Chargers, two players have been ruled out for Sunday's game. That's wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith and safety Kendall Williamson. Six players are listed as questionable, including tackle Austin Deculus, linebacker Bud Dupree, tight end Tucker Fisk, running back Omarion Hampton, safety Elijah Molden, and linebacker Delshon Phillips. One additional note from around the roster from yesterday, the team signed offensive tackle Sebastian Gutierrez to the practice squad and released corner Miles Battle. And new this afternoon, 7 News has learned the arraignment of Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs on criminal charges involving his personal chef have been pushed back from later this month until February 13th in Dedham District Court, which is days after the playing of the Super Bowl. The Celtics play game 3 of a 4-game homestand tonight when they host the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Scotty Barnes and Brandon Ingram are both questionable for tonight's contest. They are the only two Raptors players to have played in and started all 38 games. Center Jakob Poeltl remains out with a lower back strain. Josh Minot has been ruled out for the Celtics tonight. The Bruins opened up their 5-game homestand with a 4-1 win over the Calgary Flames last night. Boston has now won 3 of their last 4. They host the New York Rangers at TD Garden tomorrow afternoon. From around the NFL, the Dolphins are finalizing a deal to hire Green Bay Packers Vice President of Player Personnel John Eric Sullivan as their new general manager, and the Falcons will interview former franchise quarterback Matt Ryan, among others, for a new role entitled the, quote, President of Football, owner Arthur Blank said Thursday in a news conference. In baseball news, second baseman Ketel Marte will remain with the Arizona Diamondbacks, sources tell The Athletic. He will reportedly not be traded during the course of this offseason. And finally, the college football playoff semifinal at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl is tonight as number one seeded Indiana takes on fifth seeded Oregon. Kickoff is at 7:30. Coverage right here on WEEI begins at 7 p.m. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out.
The hell is this? This is the theme song to the movie Billy Elliot. Have you ever seen that movie?
Nope.
Okay, well, you gotta watch it. It's a really good, it might be on
Ted's Movie Club?
Ted's Movie Club.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
I don't know, this movie came out probably 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But this this song in this movie will highlight my pick in this segment. That's just what this is going to do. There's going to be a tie-in when we get down right to it.
I love it. Yes. I might not get it, but I love it. I love that the rejoin ties into the picks. Dan Ball, it is time for our pick six parlay.
A pick six!
He's picked! Touchdown on a pick six.
Jones with the pick six.
And he flips the game.
Let's go!
Gentlemen, we're back. We're better than ever, or whatever you consider our skills picking football games. Because there are, hi Lily, there are six games on the schedule this weekend, and there are six of us here on this show with the three of you guys and the three of us back behind the glass. We're bringing it back for a pick six parlay. Now, you may ask, how does everybody make their picks for a week like this? Normally,
Everybody make their picks for a week like this,
thank
Dan?
Thank you, Fitzy. Good question. Now, normally we would just send picks into the group chat and whatever you had a bunch to choose from. But we had to reward people for just performing better than expected, better than anybody else could have possibly imagined on the pick six during the regular season.
What was my reward?
Your reward, Ted. You finished first. Oh. Congratulations, Ted Johnson, our regular season winner
on
the Pick Six Parlay.
People were probably wondering who won it. I did. So,
11-5.
Pretty sure you told everybody that a few times.
11-5 was the final record for Ted Johnson. Nick Fitzy Stevens finishes second at 9-7. Brian Frazoco, who pushed on one of those late matchups, finishes 8-7-1. Stiz and I tied at 7-9. And Andy Hart, who had the chance to make the comeback, yet let the holidays slip without playing the last 2 weeks.
Wait. 7-9, 6-10. So if I win this week and one of you guys loses, I will not be alone in last place.
No, that's not how the playoffs work at all.
There's new rules?
Yeah, that's how the NFL works.
New season starts.
The Patriots don't get their 15th win of the season if they win on Sunday.
Wait, then I'm supposed to be in Cancun enjoying vacation if I came in last place.
Well, instead, you get the paradise on earth that is us. So we drafted that way. If you had the best record, you got the chance to make the pick of the game that you're picking. So Ted Johnson, with your 11-5 winning record from the regular season, you got to pick first. What is the game that you're choosing from, and what is your pick?
Well, since I got to go first, I'm going to go with the game that we all care about and are most invested in the most, and that is, of course, the Patriots taking on the L.A. Chargers. And it might not make sense because you got the Patriots' highly just potent offense going up against probably the best defense they've played all season long. It's not even a question. It is with the Chargers. And I still got them steamrolling that defense.
Steamrolling?
I got them for 34 points in this game. I feel like, and this gets to my Billy Elliot point that I was making earlier. So if you ever see the movie Billy Elliot, at the very, very, very end of the movie, you see Billy as this kind of 13-year-old boy. You know, just the whole movie is about him being this little 13-year-old boy. And the final scene is him coming out on stage. He becomes a tremendous ballet dancer, right? So he's an aspiring ballet dancer.
Oh, this is right up Andy's alley.
And his dad doesn't want him to be. He wants him to be something else, right? And
tougher.
Yeah. You know, come on. So
This is up Andy's alley.
Yeah, this is right up your alley, bud. Yeah. So and it's perfect. You know what? In this scene, Billy comes out, and all of the other dancers run to the side of the stage to watch him leap because they all know what a tremendous and talented dancer he is. And you see the dad is crying in the stands. Drake May's parents are going to be crying in the stands when they watch this performance from Drake May. It is going to be a game of all games. I think this is his essentially coming out party, if you will.
So good, his parents will be crying.
They will be crying in the stands. So this is his coming out party. And it, to me, this is everybody in the NFL is going to see this game from Drake and go, oh, I see what they're talking about. He really is an MVP. So that's my gut feeling. So I'm that's what I'm counting on. So I got the Patriots winning this game 34-20 on Sunday night.
And that covers our spread of -3.5 handily. We'll do our official Patriots Chargers game picks. We'll get the rest around Ted's in our odds and ends segment. So Ted Johnson has the Pats. Nick Fitzy Stevens with your second place record of 9-7. What's your game? What's your pick?
All right, I'm going to go with the game that bookends this super wild card weekend to Monday Night Football and the finale of Buck and Aikman calling games with the Manning brothers simulcast on ESPN2. We go. Ted, I will keep up with your movie theme so much as geography will factor into the equation. Only movie that I can think of that was filmed in Pittsburgh was Striking Distance, which is exactly what Pittsburgh is going to try and hope to stay within their opponent that they're hosting on Monday night. And the only movie that I can think that was filmed recently in Pittsburgh was The Dark Knight Rises. And, of course, we all know that Aaron Rodgers loves darkness retreats, and he'll probably love to say to C.J. Stroud at some point, you merely adopted the darkness. I was born into it. Well, all all the ayahuasca in the world is not going to save Aaron Rodgers in what likely is going to be his NFL finale. You are going up against a defense, number one in total defense, number one in points allowed, top five in rushing defense, and running the ball really is all that Pittsburgh does very well. Success rate and efficiency, number one as well. Sack rate, number one in the NFL. I happily will give 3 points to Pittsburgh, to Kalen, Metcalf, and everyone else that's going to try to beat the Texans. They will not. Texans cover the three.
I think Jack Reacher was filmed in Pittsburgh, too. Just, you know, just throwing that out there.
The movie or the, have you seen the Amazon show?
No, I haven't seen the Amazon. The movie. Yeah,
okay.
The movie.
Heard very good things about the Amazon show, too. Same with Jack. Jack Ryan. I don't know why they have the markets corner
and
there.
And then C.J. Stroud will walk up to Aaron Rodgers after the game and go, one of us will have to remain behind, my friend.
Okay, so we have the Patriots -3.5. We have the Texans -3. We have Brian Frazoco back behind the glass running the socials and the Twitch. He has the 49ers covering a +6 spread in their game this weekend. So that is the pick coming from Brian Frazoco as part of our pick six parlay. The Niners are the 4:30 game on the road against the Eagles. Andy Hart, thoughts on the Niners covering a +6 number on the road in Philly?
So that's interesting. I believe that's the only underdog that's the only underdog that was selected by our six parlay panel here.
Wow. That feels monstrous.
Philly is a weird team. Like, and this is a weird game.
Wow.
Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's been awesome, and the 49ers have dealt with some of their injuries. They're a little bit healthier now. But to me, this just comes down to Philly. Does Philly play to its talent?
What Philly's team's showing up?
If they play to their talent, then Philly should win this game at home. But if they're skulking around and, you know, all only have 3 points halfway through the second quarter and they can't move the ball and that whole thing. So I don't hate the pick. Take the points with the Niners. The Philly plays a lot of close games, and they've been underachieving.
Quick question to the panel. Is Trent Williams playing or not? He was a DNP at practice earlier in the week. If he plays,
yes.
I give the Niners a chance.
Yes, that's accurate. We saw how valuable he was last week.
Very true. All right, Stanley, Stiz and I tied at 7-9. Advantage goes to Stiz because he's cooler than me. What's your pick this week?
Dan, I'm going to go. I'm going with the Bills. Now, they're at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's been hot, 13-4. I think they've won 8 in a row. It's in Jacksonville, so you would think, you know, the Jacksonville might have the edge. But, like I say all the time, Brian, Josh Allen's going to do Josh Allen things. Mm. And don't count him out. Give me the Bills -1.5 at like Jacksonville.
That. I mean, I like that pick.
Josh Allen throws picks sometimes.
I was going to say, that phrase can cover a lot of territory, good and bad.
That's right.
Josh Allen going to Josh Allen. Yeah. Does that mean Superman cape, or does that mean Dunce cap?
Superman cape, baby.
Okay.
I mean, the pressure is so very squarely on Allen and Sean McDermott. There are changes that are incoming if they don't find a way to string some wins together here.
And
in the
they're
playoffs.
Due. Schefter told us they were due. 1992 was the last time they won a road playoff game, so they're due.
There you go. 35th time's the charm, you know, whatever number. Yeah,
both teams, though, both teams had big, really good, impressive wins recently. This should give them confidence.
Absolutely. I think that could be
Bills over
game.
The Patriots and the Jags over the Broncos.
That could be a very fun game.
Yep.
Could be indeed. One that I don't think is going to be a lot of fun is the one that I chose. So it came down to Andy and I at the bottom of the standings, choosing from the two games on Saturday. It was either the Rams and the Panthers in the early game or the Packers and the Bears in the late game. I went with the big spread and took the Rams 10.5-point favorites on the road. It's a big number, especially for a road team, but Carolina backed their way in. They lost in their game against Tampa, and the only reason they got in was because of other scores, the Falcons and the Saints. That was happening at the same time. They lost 3 of their last 4, and their only win also came against the Bucs during that spread. I just don't think they're very good. The Rams have played a really tough schedule in that division, and I think they're a team that could do some big things in this playoff overall. So I think they can roll in this game, 27-10 kind of score, that kind of thing. So I got them covering -10.5, the Rams on the road against the Panthers.
They play a big boy schedule, and they supposedly have the MVP. They should go in to Carolina against a team with a losing record.
Yep.
They should roll them. Good pick, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. And that leaves pick number 6 out of 6. Andy Hart was left with the scraps, or so it was deemed, but you've made your selection on the last one. What's your game? What's your pick?
So I find this interesting because Schefter was really interested that this game went to Amazon.
Amazon Prime when we were talking about the quality of the games, and you guys all passed over this game, so maybe it means it's a really good game.
That's
tough to pick.
That's exactly what it means.
Okay, so it fell to my lap. It's a classic NFC North affair, classic facility at Soldier Field, classic backdrop. Apparently, it's going to snow, and snow is going to be a weather game and all that. I will also say it's the I don't trust either of these two teams bowl. I don't feel great about either of these two teams. Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, great players, the whole thing, offensive coaches. Don't love any of it.
Do you know what the thing that makes me the most nervous about the Bears and has all season long is they've been number one in turnover margin all season. And you just go, well, they can't continue to turn. Like, that is a stat that you go, you can't count on that week in, week out.
Ding, 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 ding. So I will take the Packers to win at Soldier Field. They're laying a point and a half. I don't think they turn it over. If they don't turn it over, I think they're capable of playing in the snow or whatever the conditions that may present themselves. Yeah. They can run it. They can throw. They can do what they need to do. So give me the Packers to beat the Bears and cover that one and a half.
Wow.
I thought a huge, huge loss for the Packers was their tight end, Tucker Kraft, getting hurt.
Huge. Massive.
He was so good. He's so freaking good, that guy. Mm-hmm. So when he went out, I don't know, a couple months ago, I thought that was a huge loss for
Micah Parsons. He was having such a good season.
Right, yeah, and him too, yeah.
Honestly, he was having such a good season. That was the closest thing I think I had seen to the way Gronk had played. Yeah. Like, he played in a very similar physical dominant
beast
style as well.
Cool
watch
story
out,
too,
Andy.
Right?
Jordan Love will give the other team one or two if he's not
in this
on
game.
Team.
He won't, baby.
Not in this one, no.
Nope.
I'm feeling it. There you go. I like the confidence.
We are due. We're more due than the Bills on the road.
It's the most dangerous.
Yeah, I'll go with that logic. There's a lot behind it. That is our pick six for this week. So again, to recap, Ted Johnson is the Patriots -3.5. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, the Texans -3. Brian Frazoco has the Niners covering +6 on the road against the Eagles. I have the Rams -10.5 on the road against the Panthers. Stiz has Buffalo -1.5 against Jacksonville. That one you can also find flipping to either side of the line. I saw other books that had the Bills as the underdog. So it's -1.5 where I got this number. And then Andy Hart has the Packers -1.5. Our parlay, $10 wins you $485.48. And Andy Hart's $2 wins him $97.09 on this week's Pick Six Parlay.
$485.48 is a nice payment on a credit card that maybe is coming in after
Miller
the
Lights.
Christmas.
That's a lot of Miller
Lights.
A
lot of Miller Lights to celebrate dry January with here on WEEI Afternoons, the way Dan Ball does. All right, that's the Pick Six Parlay. Good luck if you take our for entertainment purposes only advice. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, time for odds and ends. That means we got to do two things. We got to pick the Patriots game. We also get to hear a little audio from The Masked Singer. I don't know that we've ever played audio from The Masked Singer on this show, but it ties into Boston sports. Maybe a Boston sports legend. That's next on WEEI.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Here we go, yo.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons. Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And we have an interesting piece of audio for odds and ends today, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K to donate your car today. So we've all heard of the show The Masked Singer, right? Ted and I were just talking during the break. Not sure we get it. Not sure how it's been so popular for so long.
It's crazy.
But it is. People watch it. People love it. Fox seems to love it. And over the course of the years, some Boston athletes, celebrities have been involved. Gronk was involved with one point. So another Boston sports star was involved this week with The Masked Singer. So you might run through your head like, oh, Gronk works for Fox and he did it. So maybe Tom Brady? Could Tom Brady be The Masked Singer? It's not Tom Brady, but it's a pretty close legend. So roll it, Stiz.
Let's go! Yeah, yeah! Fire!
Who could it be?
Yeah, yeah.
So in case you haven't guessed it yet, the Masked Singer unveiled, and it was quite a, if you haven't seen, again, they have these crazy costumes, and his was almost like robotic. It had a door. but David Ortiz was the Masked Singer that was revealed. Turned down for what? He said, that was almost da Yankees in there. That was that same sort of connotation, whatever. That show, it really is amazing.
You could have given me probably 100 guesses, and I still wouldn't have gotten it right. But I don't know. That show just baffles me. The judges are basically there to guess who the singer is, right?
Oh, yeah. And now they intentionally mislead you, and they'll bring in, like, bigger names than would ever do the show. Like, somebody will sing and it's a woman and they're like, is that Taylor Swift under that mask?
Right.
No, Taylor Swift is not doing the Masked Singer, but it's fun. It's good fun. And as I said, it's popular. So now we do need to get to our picks. We are getting closer and closer to game time. So Ted, you start first real quick. Yep. You kind of already
just
started.
Just a recap. But, yeah. I got the Patriots winning, and not just winning, but winning big. I got them putting it on the Chargers 34-20. It's going to be Drake May's coming out party, so to speak.
Yeah, his parents are going to be so happy. They're
going to be crying.
That's amazing.
Tears in the stands. Yep.
Fitzy, who will be crying? Who are you picking?
I think the Chargers do what so many other teams did to the Patriots this season. Score first, score the early touchdown. Patriots fans are anxious. Oh, no. I can't believe I was overconfident going into this. And then eventually and slowly but surely, Josh McDaniels, Mike Vrabel, and most importantly, Drake May start to do the touring machine thing. They figure out the cracks in the code. And by early fourth quarter, they take the lead. Patriots hold on in a nail biter. Four-quarter affair before the postgame show, Andy. Patriots 24, Chargers 20.
Ooh, another Patriots pick. Mm-hmm. Our guy Frazoco Friday, Brian Frazoco, is going Patriots 26-17. Dan Ball, are you a homer too?
Yes, I am, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the last time we made the pick, I got the score right on Baltimore and New England, so I kept the same score, but I flipped it to the Pats, 28-24, New England over Los Angeles.
All right.
Fun game.
I am in a very similar ballpark. I am going Patriots 27-23. I said it. I think Drake May is the most important player in this game. I'm not quite as confident as Ted that it's going to be this tier inducing performance of greatness, but I think it's going to be more than good enough to win. And that leaves us one last person to pick, the super fan that is Stiz, Chelsea's own. What you got?
That's right. What a season it's been. I mean, we've laughed together.
Like,
we've cried together. the Patriots have just been so impressive. I was a doubter early on, and they've proven me wrong, you know, time and time again. But similar to the MVP race this year, Drake May is going to have to wait just a little bit more. Ooh. Chargers 31, ooh, Patriots 24.
Wow.
It's a wrap for the season, but what a ride it's been, boys.
Wow. So
always the contrarian.
The season is a failure then, according to Stiz, because Super Bowl or bust, and they're busting out in a bad way on Sunday night. Wow.
Failure.
Stiz.
The whole season, fail.
And Stiz, in your little scenario, is Drake May a part of the reason they lose?
I think the pressure is going to get to him a little bit.
Oh.
I do. It's a big game, the biggest game he's ever played in.
All right, so we have, what is that, five picks for the Patriots, one for the Chargers. Genius walks alone. I say it sometimes, Chargers 31-24. Christian Arcand was kind of pointing and nodding at Stiz when he was making that pick. Should I take it?
Because he's the only one that had the cojones to pick against the Patriots, so I was giving him a little props for that. I don't agree with him. I think the Patriots are but I respect the
so
fact
does he
that
have
he
cojones
was willing
to... or is he wrong?
Well, there's both can be true. I have cojones and I'm wrong all the time. So I just was saying, like, you know,
brains and balls don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Not an easy thing to do, especially since, you know, it seems like the Patriots have a lot of momentum here, and the Chargers wanted this. That's really, I think, the message coming into the weekend is the Chargers wanted this. They wanted to fly across the country. They wanted to go to New England, and they wanted to play you.
In the cold.
In the cold.
Yeah.
And let's give them what they want. That's what they're going to give them what they wanted.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to have. This is what you wanted. Here you go. You got it. I think Ted's. I'm more on Ted's side than Stiz or really anybody. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think they're going to kick their ass.
Ooh, blowout. Yeah. I like it.
That's what I'm thinking. By the way, you know who else is on the Masked Singer?
I don't know.
Gronk.
I said that.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed that. Also, yeah. Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Oh. Yeah.
Patriots legend.
And Ron Artest, I think, was on it once, too.
So you've watched it more than the
whenever
rest
an athlete's on it, I always seem to find those clips, yeah.
So Antonio Brown was on Dancing with the Stars and The Masked Singer?
Yeah, he sang Bobby Brown on The Masked Singer. He
sang
My
Prerogative.
That must
be a Hall of Fame. How many people have done that double dip, A.B.?
And then went to prison. I mean, probably not
that. Well, if you do the triple dip, that really eliminates some others. What do you got tonight? Hour?
Another Power Hour. Chris Price going to join the show at 6:30, so we'll talk with him. And, yeah, we'll just get in as much as we can here. I really want to talk about Tarek Skubal and the Tigers because I feel like that's making the Red Sox look good. You know, like the fact that they're lowballing him by $13 million I think is incredible.
Yeah.
Two-time reigning Cy Young champion, but I can't really get into it tonight.
And if Stiz
so we'll
is
save
right,
it for next week.
We have time for that next week because we won't be talking right, about football exactly. If Stiz is right. All right, everybody, thank you for the fun week leading up to Patriots-Chargers, the biggest football game in years, seven years here in New England. Join the Patriots. What time are you guys on Sunday?
4:30.
4:30 for NFL Sunday leading into Patriots-Chargers. Yep. Then stick around for the Six Rings post-game show, 11:30, 11:45-ish to 2 a.m., Fitzy and Hart will celebrate the victory. Hopefully Stiz is wrong. Either way, Patriots Monday will be back on Monday to break it all down. Enjoy this five-day football weekend. It should be a fun one. Fingers crossed. Go Drake May. Talk to you Monday.